I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Camp San Luis, and we're here with Colonel Brian Keel, Space Commander at Camp San Luis Obispo and Camp Roberts. So you have a double duty, don't you?
Yeah, it's a blessing and sometimes a challenge. Mm-hmm.
Is that out of military efficiency that they gave you double duty?
I think military efficiency, it also ties into federally Camp San Luis Obispo as far as the M-Day, as we call it, the reserve side of the house, falls under Camp Roberts. So it allowed me to hold my colonel's position up there.
So they're both National Guard.
Yes, yeah. Yes they are. Mm-hmm. But it allows me to work during the week here at Camp San Luis Obispo and weekends at Camp Roberts. It's a good deal. The job is focused in the same realm. Many of our reservists have to go from one job to a completely different field on the weekend, which is a good thing, but it can also be very challenging to change your thought trends.
So within the Army and Army Reserve and National Guard, you have three fairly major bases on the Central Coast, because we also have Hunter Liggett. And we talked the other day about coordinating and working together in joint projects. Is that evolving?
Absolutely. I've met with the incoming commander as well as the outgoing commander, Colonel Lamb, and I think we've got a lot to gain by partnering the three facilities. Hunter Liggett is out there a little bit, but it's actually a very good training ground.
And that's partly just because of the physical size, right? 165,000 acres.
Absolutely. You know, joint training. And then for us, we've got the proximity at Camp Roberts as well as a little bit more robust barrack capability and other cantonment area capabilities, the railhead and other things along those lines. So it really serves us both quite well to have a partnership.
Give us an example of how here at Camp San Luis Obispo you might utilize infrastructure that you have at Camp Roberts. What would be an example?
Well, at Camp Roberts, we're looking at what we call JRSOI. The infrastructure there is geared towards what we call collective training, where we were actually able to fire field artillery, run tanks, and actually train in more combat oriented environment.
And that's an example of something. You don't have tanks here at Camp San Luis Obispo.
No, we'd run out of room quite quickly. We'd end up in somebody's classroom at Cuesta College or Cal Poly.
Yeah. Tell us about challenges and things that you hope to achieve and plan evolution-wise.
Well, I'm looking at how we can leverage both training sites to benefit each other mutually. Camp San Luis Obispo is really an academic environment for our troops, what we call individual training, where we can bring them into the classroom. We can do light field training on foot with rucksacks out in the field. Where Camp Roberts, like I mentioned before, is very much oriented towards our units training together. So it's almost a step up. San Luis Obispo, they learn the technical skills, everything from combat lifesaver to now air assault, which is one of our newest training endeavors we're putting
on. At Camp San Luis Obispo.
Right here at Camp San Luis Obispo.
Dig deeper on that one.
We've got a 60-foot rappel tower now, and we'll have an obstacle course.
And the rappel tower, that's just... They're putting the final nuts and bolts on that right now, right?
It's actually complete. Finished it last week. We're excited. We're expecting classes as soon as January, but I think it's going to be pushed off just a little bit, which is good for them. Get them out of the rainy season. I wouldn't want to be jumping off that in a rainstorm.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like the Coast Guard. That's when you got to go out and do it.
When it's raining, you're training.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true for Camp Roberts. But here... you know, that won't affect them. It's got a roof. And most of our training here, like I said, is individual. So you're not out there for days at a time, which will benefit quite well.
And how about virtual training? I know Hunter Liggett has some pretty cool virtual reality labs. I was in their M4 virtual training lab in the Humvee where you fire at a movie screen.
We're bringing those here as well. We've got the EST 2000, of course, which is kind of old hat nowadays, but we'll have that, and we're looking at other virtual training. We've got a number of Humvee rollover simulators and other simulators at Camp Roberts as well. So we'll continue down that path and looking at all possibilities. When you look at Hunter Liggett, the remoteness, things like that can almost be better suited here at Camp San Luis Obispo, where we're readily accessible.
Part of the advantage of doing the virtual training, I know the retired Marine that headed up the M4 training, he said when he was an active duty Marine, it would take him 1 week to do the training exercise on the M4 that they can do in 2 days. Part of it, you don't have to get in a Jeep and you don't have to drive for 4 hours. That's part of that efficiency, isn't it?
Yes, and that's what we're looking at, and in a step deficiency, where we always want to get them behind the wheel of the Jeep, as you say, but we can lead them up to it without actually driving around until they're fully prepared. Going back to, you know, high school driver's training, where you drove the simulators first before you got behind the wheel of the car and scared the wits out of your teacher.
And another really invaluable training tool is in the virtual lab. I know it. Hunter Liggett, they have the Humvee rollover where you're strapped in a laboratory condition and that Humvee rolls over and you've got to get out, because they found that that's one of the highest incidents of injury and death in the field are Humvee rollovers from IEDs and whatnot. So that's real important, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I know we've also got that capability at Camp Roberts. And I went through that training before heading overseas my last tour to Afghanistan. And it really does help. We know from history, you know, so many leaders have been killed, including Blue Patton was killed in a rollover. So, you know, it's the thing you aren't counting on getting you rather than the guy in front of you with a gun. And those are losses that we definitely want to mitigate because we can.
Yeah.
Can't tell the guy with a gun not to shoot at us, you know, out there on the battlefield, but we can sure mitigate the safety of our troops in a vehicle.
And a little step further, both Hunter Liggett, Camp Roberts, and here you have what is called in the Army schoolhouses.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your ongoing schoolhouse projects that you do here. Truck driver training.
88 mic training. Yeah, we've got the course going here. The RTI is a very big part of Camp San Luis Obispo. So they've developed the course, and now we're going to develop the training site even further. It's already there, but we're going to upgrade it to ensure the training experience is best as possible. Top notch, as well as, of course, OCS. And
well, that's another thing. People don't realize this is an officer candidate school.
Yes.
Here. So that goes on off and on year round, right?
That's really the flagship of our training program over here at the RTI, is producing the officers. As you know, Tom Selleck was one of those students way back when. So it's been around for quite some time, and it's a really good school. I'm a product of that school. So.
And you have graduation coming up the end of August, right?
That's correct. It's always a big event. It's a great event, both for the families, the graduating lieutenants, and all involved. It's one of our biggest events of the year, in fact.
And you have some lateral stuff going on. You have the CSTI and Grizzly. Talk about how it dovetails with you as commander.
Well, with the youth programs with Grizzly, I mean, it's turning out to be a really great program. We're seeing very positive results with the youth that go through the program. You know, at one point I was at-risk youth, and
maybe
you know,
you still are.
I still am. I wish I just had the youth still, so I can really identify with those kids, and then to see what, you know, this program is doing for them. Even though not everyone, or probably only a small percentage, join the military,
they think, oh, it's just a recruiting tool for the military. And I go, no, the stats are actually that.
I think what they achieve in the program is what many achieve later on when they realize they need to join the military because things aren't working out as planned. That's story of my life. When I joined the military, was, you know, that job that I thought was going to pay for rent, food, movies, dating, everything else, really didn't work out when it could barely pay the rent and the military was there for me. I think they're getting that training, that discipline up front with Grizzly, and employers are recognizing that and saying, hey, now you're out of high school, I'd rather take you than the guy that's lying on his mom's couch eating potato chips all day. So they're realizing it's opening those doors for them, and things are going well. They don't need to join the military. So it's a win-win. Yeah. Those that we do get, it's a great benefit to the military and continued benefit to them. And those that go on and take civilian jobs out of high school or go on to college, they've gained a lot. Mm-hmm. And on society, they're way ahead.
And for the listener, the Grizzly Youth Academy, it's what, 5 months where these kids come and they're on base in uniform, going not only through basic military protocol and wearing uniforms and drill and marching in formation, but full academics.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing about it, is they're really getting academic mentorship there. They've got a regiment where they're getting into class. They've got tutoring sessions. They've got the support they need all the way from morning till night. You know, so their academics are really on target.
And some of the kids, GED, while they're here on base, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to go back to their civilian high school.
Absolutely. Either they GED or some of them are graduating straight out, and mm-hmm. some are just going back to high school with the discipline necessary and the study habits necessary to finish it off. It's a huge leap from the continuation school of the, you know, 1980s and 90s that we used to see, which was another graduation alternative, which is out there. And they work in some cases, but in other cases, this program is really showing positive results.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the biggest difference, my wife was an instructor at Grizzly for years. Before that, she was on base at the community school. At community school, every Friday afternoon, the kids went home to civilian life and got stupid. And then Monday, you had to start over again, retraining. Where at Grizzly Youth Academy, basically, these kids are locked on base. They're not going to go to the neighborhood and get high on the weekend. And that's a huge difference.
That is what makes the difference mm-hmm. in many cases. And you bring up your wife. My wife is actually a drill sergeant at one of these academies herself, at mm-hmm. Angel Gate, which was here on post. And what I was surprised by that was I thought, oh, they're going to hate her. And they did at first. But mm-hmm. when she got called up to deploy overseas back then, they all gave her this really nice notes and cards. Mm-hmm. It was near the end of the class. Of course, they ate everybody up front. They were really heartfelt, you know, notes and gifts in terms of cards and things. Yeah, she's got that about her. Sergeant Major now, and she's tough on her soldiers. She's tough on her students. Mm-hmm. But in the end, when they need something, she's there and she takes care of them. Yeah. Teacher as well outside of the program here. You know, she always brought snacks. She worked at Oakland Military Institute as well as a teacher there, civilians, and she's tough. But on the other hand, she had a drawer full of snacks for lunch, and she would make sure they were fed. It was the tough love and loving care at mm-hmm. the same time.
The one other thing I wanted to talk about that's very much under the radar on base, it's been here for a long time, is CSTI.
Yes.
Talk to us about that, because that just kind of churns along in anti-terrorism training and hazmat and myriad different training protocols.
Through Cal OES.
Offices of Emergency Services.
Yes. So they're part of that. And, yeah, they offer the training that our first responders get. And, you know, some people just think, oh, you go out there and do that. And coming from USACE with a first response requirement there, they always say, you've been to one emergency, you've been to one emergency, because they're always different. Mm-hmm. But in a collective, CSTI, you know, a training institute like that, you've got a lot of people that have been to one emergency, but they've all been different, and they can share that and develop ways and means to better affect, you know, mm-hmm. the outcome of the next emergency.
And a lot of it is civilian training, where they bring in city administrators or whatnot from around the state, training for a first responder.
Absolutely. And you never know what we call the incident commander on an incident could be one of those folks. It mm-hmm. could be a fire chief. It could even be the mayor yep. or a school principal, depending on the situation that you're responding to. So it's important to integrate those civilian leaders and staff into all this so they're prepared, they understand this is the framework of how we operate when something takes place. And I mean, nowadays it could be everything from, you know, school shooting, unfortunately, to a hurricane, to an earthquake. So you never know what you're going to be dealt. Yeah. But understanding that framework helps you put it together in a very quick fashion.
And the other thing that a lot of people don't know about, there's a virtual city here, the city of Santa Lucia. And you guys have a whole fleet of police cars and all this stuff that's utilized by CSTI for that training. That's pretty real.
Yes, absolutely. So, and they're developing the program as well. So we're happy to have them here partnering with them because their mission very much dovetails with, you know, the support that the National Guard brings to the state and the communities out there. So it's been a real win-win for both organizations to have them.
Before we go, two things top of your mind that you hope to achieve in your term as base commander, both at Camp San Luis Obispo and Camp Roberts.
Well, for Camp San Luis Obispo, I bought into the vision of becoming the ideal academic schoolhouse for the at least the West Coast or west of the Mississippi for the National Guard, mm-hmm. and being able to offer premier individual classroom and individual field training opportunities here. Right now, we're flying soldiers all the way out to the East Coast, a place called Peck or, you know, other locations out there where we've got the weather, we got the facilities, mm-hmm. troops love coming here. So I want to continue to develop all the opportunities we can. I'm going to focus on lodging, billeting, rations, and the support we need. The RTI, the Regional Training Institute here, they've got a great handle on the training of the troops. I'm going to provide the facilities they need to bring more and execute more training on this post.
Colonel Brian Keels, I could keep you all day. This is great. So we're going to have to come back and do part two.
Sounds good.
We've been speaking with Colonel Brian Keels, base commander at Camp San Luis Obispo and Camp Roberts. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.